I'm excited to see a country vote for its freedom for the first time. I've never been around to see one of those before, and I'm very, very honored that I'm able to be a witness to this kind of independence.
Now, you have campaigned for the rights of the people, not only here, but in Darfur. Do you think that this is something that the international community is going to stand by and not just forget these people after this event?
Well, I would hope so, because as you know, we have a very short attention span, and this will be a news story for a minute and then it'll go off of the news. So our hope is that it can be sustained. I couldn't guarantee that, obviously, but if it has anything to do with me, I'll keep talking about it.
And what can you do using star power to make sure that attention and focus is kept here?
Well, that's what I do, is I just try to make it loud, and cameras tend to follow me around, so if they follow me around, I'm going to come here. It's a better place to shoot than Los Angeles, you know, so we'll do whatever we can to keep it in the public eye.
And within the 6 months of the transition period here, right, do you think that it's going to play out well, or do you have fears?
I have lots of fears. I have fears about Abiy, a lot of fears about Abiy in particular. And I think if you don't deal with that, then I think this could fall apart very easily. I mean, there's a lot of things that can go wrong. But I'll tell you this, the fact that this government got this referendum together by the 9th, when no one thought they could, the Security Council didn't think they could, the fact that he pulled it together is a testament to the fact that this government could actually pull this entire thing off. And that's exciting thing.
So what should the world do about Abiy now?
Well, I know what the world should do. I know that all of the negotiators and all the people who are involved should be working on wealth sharing. They should understand that the Nakdinka are not going to allow their land to be cut up anymore. It's been cut up a lot. That part should not be on the negotiating table. They should honor the Hague and the Abiy Accord first and foremost, and then talk about wealth sharing, talk about softer borders for the Masurya to be able to have grazing. There are a lot of issues at play. Most of them are negotiable, but it's understanding the players better and making sure that we don't have outsiders coming in that just say, well, here's what we can do, and start cutting up land the way Africa in general has been cut up over the years by other people.
What about the fear that after participating as a partner in ensuring the referendum in South Sudan, that Khartoum might start behaving badly over Darfur and thinking that they've done their part?
I think we've already seen some signs of that. There was a village, Korobeche, was burned down 2 weeks ago in Darfur. I think there's still some real signs of that. But remembering that part of the American version of removing sanctions, of normalizing relations, taking them off the terror watch list, that's a roadmap tied to not just their behavior here, but their behavior in Darfur. So if you want these things to work, you know, you want to play with the grown-ups, you got to act like a grown-up, and that's what it comes down to.